This is Susan Williams. I'm in the MFA program in creative writing at Virginia Commonwealth University, and I'm in Charlottesville, Virginia. It's March 14th, 2002, and I'm speaking with Eleanor Ross Taylor.
Well, one thing that I have enjoyed about your poems, this actually reminds me a little bit of Bishop too, is the way you're able to work in some really down-home expressions and events, episodes, and characters into work that isn't really folksy at all. I think that's a difficult trick to pull off.
I'm flattered that you say that. I do think that some of those early poems that had so many characters in them that did have the expressions that you refer to were sort of a frustrated short stories, because I had also written stories when I was in college and fiction, and after I was married, there was just not time. Fiction just takes so much more time, and so I do think that some of that was channeled into the poems in a way.
But they come across as poems, not as
as
poetic short stories.
Uh-huh. Yes, that's true.
Yeah, I've always been intrigued by. Mm-hmm. How you can compress narrative and suggest it without having to spell it out. And that's not an easy thing to do either.
Well, I wasn't really just conscious of how I was doing it. But.
Yeah, well, it did seem to me that in those sort of narrative or quasi-narrative poems that you were sort of honoring your heritage.
I've come to feel now that those poems are much too long. And of course, as one progresses, one does write different kinds of things over a lifetime. But Donald Justice said a few years ago, poems should be one page, no more than one page. And I've come to feel that too. I feel that a long poem is not a success, oftentimes. And when I pick up a magazine and see a great many poems that run to two or three pages, it seems to me they ought to be one page. You don't have this feeling.
My poems tend to be a little longer than they should be. But you see it as a paring down as you've grown with your poetry.
I think in a way. And as I say, the whole of business of being a frustrated fiction writer is sort of disappeared.
I did come across a short story that you'd written in an early issue of Shenandoah.
I printed 5 or 6 stories, I guess, maybe enough for a book, I'm not sure. And some before I was married, and then just shortly after I was married. And I had one in the best short stories 1 year. But
Did you feel that there was a conflict in that writing short stories took away from, that you lost a poem in the process of writing a short story?
No, I didn't actually feel that. I think in a way, You write fiction, the best fiction, because you have something to say, and you know what it is, and you're saying it. Either, you may be saying it obliquely, but you're on the track of something that you're a message at almost. And it seems to me that in a poem, it's much more unconscious. But this may be my individual weakness. You're searching in the poem. Now, my husband, whose story is better than mine, said that he wrote stories to find out what he thought. And that's, in a way, I guess, what I write poems for. So it may be, that's just whatever you do.
So with a story, you really know from the start how you want it to go.
I think so. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And the poem is something of an
adventure. It's a search. I think it is. Mm-hmm. But this is just my feeling about it.
I think that rings true, certainly to me. Yeah. And then another quality of your poetry, this is my last question that I have on the list, but we'll see what happens. And another quality that invites comparison with Elizabeth Bishop is that sort of self-effacement, with the poet almost disappearing behind the poem. Mm-hmm. And, since confessionalism, that approach has been pretty rare. And I'm just curious if you'd comment about some of the aesthetic choices, the writerly choices, not the personal choices, behind your use of persona and an eye that is more a pair of eyes than an actor in the poems.
Well, I don't think that I'm very conscious of that, but this makes me think of something that I am conscious of a lot, and that is that I think a poet like Sylvia Plath, for all her genius, is somebody that I don't really like to go back to because I feel that there is so much bitterness and anger in the poems. And I feel that when you have that, that you don't that comes between you and do you understand what?
Yeah, I personally I do understand.
And I think of other poets too, and I feel that there is hatred in the poems and resentment and warfare, as it were, and I feel that they may be brilliant, and the poet writing them may have terrific gift, but they're not pleasant to go back to, and I find that I don't.
You find that the anger is sort of unresolved mm-hmm. and.
Yes, it's
unworked through.
Mm-hmm. I do.
In that, I know from myself when I am dealing with an emotional subject, I often find myself using more of a formal technique, using rhyme
That's
or something
good
to
idea.
Keep some control.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. On it is.
I think that people. It seems to me that, well, Tate, and Ransom, and Warren really. Though he changed a little bit. And the poets in Hennessy, Vincent Millay, the poets up until Frost really began to make his influence felt, I think, were formalists. And then I think Frost was just so wonderful, and I do think, and I think that Randall had a moment when he turned away from Tate and those people and adopted. He decided that idiom that you wanted to communicate, and that the everyday idiom and conversational tone was important, and that was what he was going for. And it makes his poems wonderful, I think, because there is so much brilliance in them that if they were also formal, they would just almost be inaccessible, I think. I don't know.
Yeah, some of his persona poems are very believable.
Yes, they are.
Mm-hmm. Hear the characters.
And I think it was deliberate on his part.
But well, I know I've read that it was a struggle with Lowell to try to get
break
past,
away. To break away.
Yeah, yeah. To change his style mm-hmm. As well as what he was talking about.
Well, you know, Lowell is... I know that he's a great poet, and that there are people who are better critics than I am who probably do go back to him. But he is not somebody that I go back to at all, in the way I do, for example, to the just little quotations from Jarrell's poems that come to me from time to time, and I do think that I don't mean to denigrate him, but I do think that he was a made poet, that he was determined to be a poet, and I do think that drive has a lot to do, and sometimes they're born poets who just throw their talent away. Don't you think so?
Oh yes.
And then I think and then I think there are people who have just the most modest gifts, who are absolutely determined to be writers, and they write novels and they write poems, and they work at it so hard that sometimes they just almost invent talent and become good
and you would consider Lowell one of those?
I really do. I really do, but that's just my personal opinion, and it doesn't, you have to hand it to him. Anybody who devotes his life to doing that and really, he was well read too and wonderful. But
I remember reading some of his early poems in a biography and thinking they were terrible.
Yeah, they are. Absolutely. I agree.
So it was encouraging to think uh-huh. that you could yeah. overcome that. Uh-huh. Are there poets writing now that you particularly admire?
Well, I'm ashamed to say that I just read very little poetry now. I do subscribe to a good many of the little magazines, and I flip through them, and now and then I take an issue and just read the whole thing through just to kind of see. But the names don't... come to me. I think that somebody that I've liked a lot is Jeredith Merrin. Do you know her poems at all?
I don't.
And I have much liked. He just died. Herbert Morris, he's somebody that he absolutely. I don't know why, but he stayed absolutely out of the whole network of, you know, editors and reviewers and other poets and writing conferences. And he was just a solitary figure up there in Philadelphia writing his poems, and they're long meditations, and I am just mad about them, and I think someday they will be appreciated for. Well, Tony Hecht has appreciated him, and I think James Merrill did too. And when I asked Richard Wilbur once in Key West just who Herbert Morris was, he said, oh, he's somebody about our age, and he's just never cared to enter into the kind of literary world. He's just, and he agreed that he was a good poet.
More power to him.
Mm-hmm. But you know, we have good poets here on the... some good young poets at Virginia. I think Deborah Nistrom is good, and Steve Cushman is good, and of course Gregory Orr has. These are the ones that I feel some kinship with, and there are other poets that I feel kinship with that might not be flattered at my feeling kinship with them, but because, well, for one thing, a lot of them are women, and they have a Southern background that they look at with ambivalent feelings, I think. Mm-hmm. And there are people like Ellen Voigt and Betty Adcock and Elizabeth Morgan and those people, don't you?
Oh, all people that I admire very much.
And I think Jane, isn't Jane Cooper one of those two? I think she really is.
Mm-hmm. Ms. Taylor, thank you so very much for talking with me this morning. It really has been a delight.